It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
And it's always a treat to talk with Debbie Schlussel. Debbie Schlussel is an attorney, a pundit, an all-around interesting person, an opinion leader, a political commentator, but she's also a film critic, and often the worlds of her punditry and film criticism collide with one another. Debbie, it's been way too long since you've been on the program. It's great to have you back.
Thank you. Great to be back. Quite an introduction there.
Debbie, let me begin with the heavier stuff first, and I want to pick your brain on a few items in the news before we get to the movies. Obviously, we're watching what's happening in the Middle East. Israel taking on these Iranian strikes, and apparently strikes in Iraq and possibly Syria of Iranian-backed militias and locations. Give me your take on the whole Middle East situation as it stands now. I think the whole audience knows you're a big supporter of Israel, but as a big supporter of Israel, how do you analyze the situation as it stands?
So I really think that Israel should have responded on the night that all of the Iranian missiles fell. I think they should have done it swiftly. I think they should have gone into Rafah a long time ago, and I think they should finish the job. I think they should have finished the job already. I think the problem is that when you don't have swift and certain response to these kinds of things, it keeps happening, and your enemies don't learn to fear and respect you. I think we saw that here in America because Ronald Reagan, who of whom I was a big fan and got to meet and so on, he came into office with our hostages being freed upon his day that he came in. And he never responded. We never bombed Iran. We never did anything. They got to invade and take over our embassy, hold our hostages for over a year, and nothing happened to them. I actually was just texting tonight to my friend Kevin Hermaning, who was a Marine guard at the embassy, who was the youngest hostage there, who was 21 at the time. And he was in there on his day off looking at the plans to guard the embassy the next day, and he was taken hostage. And he said that America should have done something. And the thing is that now finally Israel has bombed Iran. I don't know how extensive it is. It seems very limited and muted, and it doesn't seem like it's anything on the scale of what of the missiles that were sent nonstop by Iran to Israel. I think Ronald Reagan also, we had Hezbollah, which is backed by Iran, target Americans. They blew up our embassy in 1983. Blew up the Marine barracks where our Marines were there protecting the Muslims, allegedly from Israel. And while they were sleeping, they were murdered by Hezbollah. Hezbollah also murdered the Navy diver Robert Dean Steedham, and they tortured him to death on a flight, TWA-847, because he refused to condemn America and so on, and they had hijacked the plane. They also tortured to death Colonel Rich Higgins of the UN Peacekeeping Force, also an American. So nothing happened when those things happened. And in fact, Ronald Reagan pulled the Marines out of Lebanon, and there was no response. And that is something that Osama bin Laden said when he attacked America, that he saw what happened in Lebanon. We didn't respond. He saw what happened in Somalia. We didn't respond. And I think you have to have a response. It has to be swift and it has to be stronger. It's kind of like the Chicago way in the Untouchables. And, you know, if somebody comes at you with a knife, you mm-hmm. have to come at them with a gun and kill a lot more people than they've killed of yours. We need to do that. Israel needs to do that. And I don't think really they've done that.
So a lot of people are going to hear what you're saying in terms of a much, much not only swifter, but a much more aggressive response from Israel towards Iran, and say that's going to lead to an even broader Middle Eastern war, with higher gas prices and the risk of a greater conflict, which puts a lot of Israeli lives in danger and potentially down the line a lot of American lives. What do you say to that, that a kind of grander retaliation would lead to a global conflict that maybe the United States and Israel aren't ready for?
Listen, October 7th happened. Israel clearly wasn't ready for it because they were supposed to have the best border system and the best surveillance and security in the world. And this happened. They were surprised. That was backed by and funded by Iran, which is why Israel struck the so-called embassy of Iran in Syria, because that so-called embassy was actually a military base. And one of the planners of October 7th attacks on Israel, mm-hmm. by Iran's own admission, was there. And so that is when the war started. So is Israel just supposed to sit there and take it and say, oh, well, so what? You invaded our country. You raped and tortured and mass murdered over 1,400 of our citizens. You still have hostages of ours. Iran, you helped plan this, you funded it, but that's okay. We're just going to take it and not do anything. You have to respond. We are the West. You have to respond. I mean, should we have just sat there and taken Pearl Harbor, the Pearl Harbor attacks, and not done anything? Should we have taken the 9/11 attacks and not done anything? I think the 9/11 attacks, the response that we had, unfortunately, was to go into the wrong countries and not to swiftly get at the enemy. We never went after bin Laden until much later, because each time when we saw him, he was with children, and we didn't want to kill children. If you're not going to fight a war like it's a war, you are just going to keep getting hurt more. It's like a neighborhood bully. At one point, and early on is the best point, they have to be stopped. Hamas was not stopped. Israel was attacked by Hamas many, many times over the years, and they didn't do anything. And each time it got worse, and then you saw October 7th, which was way worse than anything that ever happened. So as far as,
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
So as far as gas prices going up, I don't think that you can attribute gas prices going up to Israel defending itself. For example, Joe Biden is limiting gas exploration in America. He's made it much harder. That's a good part of why gas prices are up. Plus, we have high gas taxes that need to be eliminated. That's not Israel's fault. And Israel has every right to defend herself. And I think also that if Israel had carte blanche to respond swiftly and certainly and get the job done, everything would have been over a long time ago. Israel could have gone into Gaza, done what it needed to do, and this would have been all over. But instead, they've gone in there, tried to do it surgically and so on. They could have killed a lot more people to get all the Hamas people, and they didn't, unfortunately. And I think that's why you have this prolonged thing. And that's why the world has all this fatigue, unfortunately. It's not going to put American lives in danger. It's just going to put more Israeli lives in danger.
Last question about Israel, Debbie, and then I want to pick your brain on a couple items in the news and then talk movies. There were reports that Israel knew about Hamas's attack plan more than a year before it happened. And a lot of people fault Netanyahu and the current government for not being better prepared. Others fault Netanyahu for propping up Hamas to be kind of a bulwark against Fatah in the region. Do you hold Netanyahu responsible for either of those things, either being unprepared when there are reports that the IDF knew this was an attack was in the planning stages a year ago, or propping up Hamas to be a bulwark against Fatah?
So I don't believe that Israel actually knew what exactly was going to happen or any of these plans to a certainty. I think that there are a lot of conspiracy theories going on, and there is a lot of blame going on to Netanyahu because he is conservative. He's considered the right-wing government and so on, when he's really like as conservative as like a Jeb Bush would be. He's kind of more of a centrist. And there are a lot of people more right-wing in Israel, a lot of different parties. You know, I don't believe that he propped up Hamas versus Fatah. I don't think that that's true. I think that that is the claim, again, of a lot of conspiracy theorists and so on. The bottom line is that I don't think anyone knew what was going to happen then, or if they did, this would have been stopped. I think, on the contrary, Israel was asleep at the wheel. To that extent, Netanyahu was the leader when this when October 7th happened, and he does bear responsibility. The fish rots from the head down, and the fish at the top, when this happened, takes responsibility or bears responsibility and some blame. But that said, under many years of Netanyahu, more Israelis have been more safe than they ever have been. And he's the only one that responded to terrorists as much as maybe should have been, except it should have been even more. And unfortunately, I think America has tied Israel's hands. So I don't think this is about Netanyahu. I also think at the time of October 7th, you had nightly protests against Netanyahu by the Israeli left, who didn't want him to be able to appoint Supreme Court justices. You had an Israeli Supreme Court run amok that was crazy liberal, that was ruling against a lot of important security measures, ruling against religious Jews, and so on. And they were protesting nightly. A lot of these people were army people, were military people. And I think the entire country lost its focus on what was important, which is unity and security. And that's, I think, a big reason why this happened.
A lot of people looking what's going on now and saying this is why President Biden shouldn't be president right now and shouldn't be in control of the military and foreign policy. I know you've been critical of Donald Trump, particularly in his post-presidential years, having dinner with anti-Semites and some of the other things that he's been doing. And since we've been talking over the last couple of years, you've said repeatedly that you will not vote for Donald Trump again. Given what's happening on the world stage now, and given the fact that Biden's going to be the Democratic nominee and Trump's going to be the Republican nominee in all likelihood, is there any chance that you might reconsider that and actually end up voting for Trump, given the stakes?
No, I'm not going to vote for either of these people. We have been given horrible choices, and I don't think there's a lesser of two evils. Donald Trump, lately, just the other day, and this has been all over TV in Israel, by the way, he held a rally where he, before his jury selection started, he held a rally where a lot of his supporters were shouting and chanting "Genocide Joe," which is the same thing that all these Palestinian protesters who are blocking the streets and blocking highways and airports are chanting, "Genocide Joe." It is a moniker that is because a lot of the left and these Palestinians believe that Joe Biden is causing genocide because he's allowing Israel to defend itself. And Donald Trump's response to his supporters who were chanting "Genocide Joe" was, "You know, you're not all wrong about that. You're not wrong about that." So that is very scary to me, to hear a former president and possibly a future president say that it's genocide to support Israel and allow it to defend itself. That is very scary to me. And it's not just the dinner with anti-Semites. It's his palling up with and hiring Alex Jones to host his January 6th rally. I'm not talking about what happened at the Capitol. Alex Jones is a guy who said that the Nazis marching on Charlottesville were Jewish actors and not really Nazis. With the Sandy Hook stuff, he particularly targeted the parents, the Jewish parents of victims, when he said that this never happened and so on. These are the kinds of people Donald Trump is hanging out with. He just endorsed a guy who won the North Carolina governor nomination for the GOP, who blamed Jews for the problems of the world. I cannot vote for somebody who is an anti-Semite who mainstreams and enables anti-Semitism, which is now growing in the Republican Party, used to be, and in the conservative movement. It used to be on the fringes and on the sidelines. I can't vote for that. Because you know what? When those people take over the Republican Party and the conservative movement, then where will I go? I'll never vote for these liberal Democrats, but I have to demand more from my side. They're not just going to get my vote.
Well, I can't argue with that. That's really inescapable logic, and it's very sound. And last question I'll ask you about this, though, is a lot of folks are saying, well, especially in your state, Michigan, which is a key swing state and could make the difference in the whole election, they're saying, look, you know, if the logical consequence of you making a statement with your vote is that, look, the reality is it's a binary choice between Biden and Trump. And as bad as Trump is, for all the reasons that you just stated, is Biden worse? And I think a lot of people that may share your concerns about everything you just mentioned may think Biden is worse. So I'll ask you, do you think Biden is worse? And is it worth swallowing your principles on this one to get Biden out of office?
So Biden is very bad, and even worse would be Kamala Harris as president. And we just saw a video the other day of Joe Biden saying that his uncle was eaten by cannibals or something, or could have been.
Right, right.
I mean, this guy is nuts. I mean, he's lost it completely. On the other hand, I am very worried about what Donald Trump will do because I think he's lost it, too. And I mean, he has given interviews saying that Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian Authority leader, who's also a lifelong terrorist, that he is a father figure and that only one side wanted peace when he was president. It was very obvious to him. It was the Palestinians, which they've never shown they wanted peace. That scares me. So I'm not even sure if there is a worse, because I don't know what Trump will do if he gets reelected. I don't know. I do think he's kind of lost it, too. And I'm just really disappointed at all these people who handed me this choice on the Republican side. As you know, I really wanted Ron DeSantis. This isn't a matter of voting for the Republican nominee because they're the lesser of two evils. Usually I have done that throughout my life, with a few exceptions. And this is going to be another one of the exceptions. This exception is actually stronger, I think, than the ones I've had in the past. I just don't think there's a lesser of two evils. I think we have two very bad choices. It's very disturbing to me. I don't like what's going on. But no, I'm probably not voting for either of these people. I definitely won't vote for Joe Biden. And I absolutely won't vote for Donald Trump.
Fair enough. Debbie, one day we have to schedule a full hour because I want to pick your brain so much on the different items in the news that we're almost out of time to discuss movies. But so let's at least try and mention a couple of quick ones. One, a movie that I'm considering seeing this weekend in IMAX is Civil War. You saw it. It made a lot of money. What'd you think of it?
I thought it was awful. It's long, slow, and boring, and it's a very woke movie. And essentially, you've got this president who's a fascist that they want to get rid of, and you have these various militias fighting him or fighting each other. And, of course, the right-wing militia hates foreigners and shoots and kills them. It's a very graphic, violent movie for no reason. It was pointless. I hated it. And it glorifies these woke left-wing journalists, and I don't believe they deserve glorification, especially these days. Things just get worse with them.
What is this picture? I don't think I've heard of it. The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
This is the best movie of the week, and it's the best movie I've seen in a while. This is the new Guy Ritchie movie. It's based on a real story. It's a true life story. Winston Churchill had this band of secret warriors that were kind of misfits and didn't listen to orders. And their job was to take out the two main German U-boats. They had to take those out to clear the ocean for Americans to get there. And also they were using these boats to transport weapons and also to attack. And they had to take them out. It stars Henry Cavill, and it's just a great movie. It's very funny. It's very interesting. If you liked Inglourious Basterds, this isn't as good as that, but it's still great. I enjoyed it a lot. They did DEI-ify it and woke-ify it. They have this whole group of black warriors that join. There's no evidence of that. They have a female warrior. She didn't exist in real life. She was actually a secretary who married the main guy. But it's a great story. And at the end of the movie, it's the best part where they show these real life people and what happened to them. And Ian Fleming, the author of the James Bond books, is in this story.
Oh, cool.
And it said he based James Bond on the hero
I got to see this. The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. Debbie, I'm sorry we don't have more time. Let's chat again in a week or two, and we'll slot out a larger portion of the program so that we can cover a wider variety of subjects. Thank you. Have a great Passover.
Thank you.
Thank you. Debbie Schlussel, if you want to comment on any portion of our conversation, be my guest. 800-848-9222. Straight ahead.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.